Thank you for joining us on this all new episode of Gameware Express. Now on Spotify, my name is Adam Arender, and it is Tuesday, May the 7th, 2024. You're listening to episode number 294. John Michael Carley, it's gonna be May.
It is, in fact, going to be May. Adam, I was thinking, can we just legally change our podcast name to Gameware Express now on Spotify?
I think we could do that. We can probably trademark that. I know a good trademark attorney. His name is Neil Bonham.
That's me.
You love trademarks and attorneys.
Yes, fighting for the corporations and their money.
Stephen Martin back 2 weeks in a row.
If I have to hear the word Spotify one more time while listening to this show or being on it, I'm going to strike.
Renee Martin now on Spotify.
That's certainly where we are. That's our home now. That's home base.
Home base. Yes. You can find us there morning, noon, and night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I prefer our Zune feed.
Yeah.
Missed that.
There's secret episodes.
They get you Xbox rewards.
Yeah. You know, when you had the Zune Music Pass, you were able to keep 10 songs a month.
Wow.
You
own them.
So on a hard drive somewhere, I own like 400 songs.
Like 20 songs.
No, I was subscribed to that for a while.
Yeah.
I thought that you forgot to like always do that every month.
I did.
You'd
be like,
God damn it, I forgot.
Yeah, because you only had 30 days to do it.
That you had to choose your 10 songs?
Yes. But you have more than 30 days to listen to this podcast.
That's true. You can listen all the way back from 2013, but why would you? Because that was so long ago, and you know all the answers.
I like listening to old podcasts. It's like a time capsule. Yeah. I listen to a lot of old stuff.
We came up with a lot of great ideas in those years.
I don't listen to our show.
It's like reading old gaming magazines, you know?
Other people.
It's like reading an old game magazine.
Yeah.
That's true. I was listening to some of our old stuff before, and it was like we were speculating on Nintendo NX, which became the Switch.
That's fun.
About 2 months ago, after we went estate shopping, and I came across a whole bunch of
You bought
Disney.
A whole state?
Wow. Yes.
What year is it?
1842.
Yeah.
It was my Louisiana purchase. It's just a typical Saturday. But no, we came across a whole bunch of like Disney VHSs.
Yes.
But while I had the VHS out, I took the opportunity to watch I still have like from Nintendo Power the VHSs they used to send with like game previews
we have a ton of those.
I've only got like two or three, but man, like seeing one of them I have is Jet Force Gemini before it was or no not Jet Force Gemini Star Fox Adventures, but it's the Dinosaur Planet video.
Whoa.
Like on N64, and it's like they're showcasing it and everything.
Which ones do we have? I don't know.
We'll bring them all to the next show.
Like them all 151.
Do you even still have a VCR hooked up to something?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, he said he hooked it up so you could watch the Disney movies.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because you have a child who likes Disney.
And most of my Godzilla movies I own are on VHS.
Anytime we have a house party, we throw a VCR CRT combo
into
the kitchen and throw some VHS tapes.
We watched your awesome Star Trek episode.
Yes, we did.
Just a warmer quality of VHS, they say.
It is a warmer feel and sound.
Before we jump into our regularly scheduled show, quick announcement. If you forgot from last week, we will be at WasabiCon this weekend, Saturday, May 11th at 2:30 p.m. is our live panel at WasabiCon in downtown New Orleans. So if you're in the area and you like anime or pop culture or video games or us, come check out WasabiCon Saturday, May 11th at the Sheraton in downtown New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Gamer Express live panel at 2:30.
We're also giving away a jacket. So you might win. If you go, you might win a jacket.
It's possible.
For this week's intro question, brought to you by me this week.
Yay.
I've been playing more Stellar Blade, which we'll get into in a little bit. But her like best friend, his name is Adam. And he's like the guy in the chair.
Sure.
And that, if you didn't know, is also my name.
Whoa, crazy.
So for this week's intro question, I'm curious either what your favorite or a game you know of that you share a name with one of the characters
this is
in the game. Yeah, John Michael. How many John Michaels are in video games?
Rarely. It's gotten better in more recent years, but for like Super Nintendo era games, I could never put my name in because there were not enough characters to name my character that.
Oof, yeah.
I always said it'd be JM, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, John Michael's not an option in a lot of things.
That's true. Do you have a favorite John or favorite Michael? Although that's neither of your names, so it's kind of cheating.
Yeah, so it doesn't really work. mine is the ones that I made where I could finally put my name in.
That's fair. That's fair. Does anyone else have a game name twin?
Yeah, actually, I do. Renee is also a pretty rare one.
Yeah, I can see
not
that.
A lot of Renees out there. But the only Renee I can think of in a video game is in Harvest Moon, Tree of Tranquility, and Animal Parade. One of the romance options, her name is Renee.
Okay.
She's kind of unremarkable, but she's cute, whatever. She's more of just like kind of a, I don't know, in terms of like what kind of character she is, she's like the older sister type of like character. Yes. So, you know, like if you know Animal Crossing types, one of the like girl types of animals is like an older sister type. So she kind of has that same attitude. And yeah, she's just cool. She vibes, you know. I think her rival, like, marriage person is some guy named Toby.
Ugh.
Yeah, we hate Toby.
Death to Toby.
So that is a reason why you should romance Renee.
Oh, okay.
Steven, are you getting all this?
Yeah.
The reason you should romance Renee.
Yeah.
I'm not desperately trying to
Toby.
Search for my...
there have only... Minecraft Steve.
Yeah, Minecraft, yeah. Pokemon. These are games I don't play. So there's Pokemon. There's a Steve.
Steven Stone.
Yeah, there's...
Sure is.
But isn't he like the champion or something?
He is. It's funny because he's just obsessed with rocks.
As
you go
I.
into a cave.
Jesus Marie, they're minerals.
The first time you meet him, because I've been playing Emerald a little bit, right? So the first time you meet him, you have to go into a cave, which has to be illuminated, you know, by a Pokemon. You have to use Flash. And you go deep, deep, deep into this cave, and he's just sitting in the dark looking at rocks. That's it.
Resident Evil Code Veronica has a Steve, I think.
That's cool.
Let me search that.
Sounds impactful.
Steve Burnside.
Sounds really cool, actually.
This is just like a memory of mine. I don't know if that's actually true. But
maybe you just invented a cool character.
No, it is a real character. Okay. I just don't know if it's Code
Steve
Veronica.
Steve Burnside. Is he like a buff guy who's like 55 years, almost 60 years old, hasn't aged.
Here's a reset era thread. Steve Burnside is the worst character Capcom has ever created.
Love that guy.
Does NBA Live 95 count? I'm sure there's a Steve that played basketball back then. Steve Kerr, yep. Hey, there we go. That's a phenomenal basketball player from my favorite basketball game of all time, which is NBA Live 95. Steve Kerr, playable in that game.
Good answer. Good answer.
Thank you.
Neil, do you have a favorite Neil?
Yeah, so I think kind of along the lines of everyone else except for you. there's not really many Neils in video games that stand out. Maybe his last name's like Commander O'Neil or something like that. I'm sure that's a thing. But oddly enough, one thing my wife is obsessed with is like what names mean.
Okay.
And Neil happens to mean cloud. Which is kind of fitting.
What? That's pretty cool.
So,
apparently, the star of the Super Mario Brothers franchise originally was named Neil.
Nice.
Whoa.
Like Mario.
Well, there we go.
Not true.
I'll take that one.
So, like Super Neil Brothers.
You got us.
Sorry. There's a Neil in Fallout. He's the owner of the Scum Pit in Junktown.
Just like you.
Neil works at the bar together with Trish, his waitress.
Hey.
See?
Not far from my career.
Yeah.
Finnegan's was kind of scum. A scum pit.
What about Neil Druckmann?
Yeah. That's a good character.
It's my favorite video game character. It's going to be the new final boss in Sony All-Stars Battle Royale.
Hell yeah.
Neil Druckmann.
Death Stranding 2.
Yeah.
I mean, for mine, there have been a couple Adams in video games, but there are not a lot of Adams in video games either. There was the asshole guy in Metroid Other M, which I didn't play. So the only other real answer is Adam Jensen from Deus Ex surname, I don't remember, but he had those cool glasses like Neo from The Matrix.
Yeah. Ooh. I bet if we look, there's probably a good amount of Adams, right? Because it's like that biblical allusion to it.
Yeah, but again,
it means first man.
It's
like,
true, but it's used a lot less than you think.
Yeah.
Let's forget about characters. What about like MacGuffins?
Oh, then that's Bioshock, right?
Yes. Yes.
Again, how of course they're going to pair. Okay, the only time the name Adam ever usually comes up in games, if it's paired with Eve, like Stellar Blade, like Bioshock, like because of the biblical connotation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
now
we're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe just low-hanging fruit for video game writers.
But yeah, no, it's usually not a lot of Adams. Everyone's just named, like, I don't know, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, everyone has, like, stupid names, like
Bimmy.
Cloud.
And Jimmy.
Sephiroth. How many Sephiroths do you know?
Well, I had three in my class. You didn't have any in your
grade. Sephiroth P, come to the principal's office. Sephiroth P to the principal's office.
Oh, man. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thanks, Adam.
Like I said, I've been playing more Stellar Blade
this past
week. Nice, nice. I think I'm 5 hours in.
35 to go.
Really? Yeah. Is it that long?
Well, I guess it depends on what you want to do.
Damn. Okay, so this is one of those games. I'm really enjoying Stellar Blade. I do want to say that.
Yeah.
But it's one of those games I can only play like in short bursts because like I feel like I have to be like focused when I play this game, because you can't just like cast Fire Aga and just burn through the back half of the game like I did with whatever.
You actually
have to like try
combat
and dodge and like parry, which I'm getting much better at that system because I'm not a big like Souls player like half this table is.
Sure.
My really only experience with this type of combat was like playing God of War.
And I think this does lend itself more into that God of War realm.
Which is why I'm enjoying it, because it's a little more loose. It's not as like restrictive or punishing, I feel like.
Yeah. So the difference here again with the Souls game, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, is like, you know, with Souls games, like you are often looking for an opportunity. Bloodborne, notwithstanding, you're usually a bit more defensive. Whereas this game is like you gotta just, there's no breathing room, right?
Yeah.
Like everything is a piece of the combat. Like you're either attacking or you're trying to counter or like parry, to your point, like doing something while the enemy's also doing something.
And it does do that thing where I'll be like traversing a hallway and then like around a corner it's like, surprise motherfucker, and they just like punch you in the face and you're like,
yep,
damn it,
better parry.
And it's like the fourth time it's got me, I'm like, all right, I should learn by now to like check for corners, because they keep just popping out. But no, they still
use
keep surprising
radar
me
thing.
I don't care much for like the climbing, like the Assassin's Creed cliff climbing sections.
Let's
of
talk
this
about
game
this because yes, I agree. This game is fantastic, but it has some dog shit platforming. Like, truly awful platforming in it.
That's the biggest thing that turned me off from Star Wars, Jedi,
yeah, that has
whatever.
Better platforming than this.
But yes, that is true, but I did not like the platforming in that game.
No, sure, yeah.
Just
no, it is
in
also
general,
pretty rough.
Like, I don't want to, like, if I'm already playing this game whose hook is, like, the combat's not just a Bayonetta button masher type, like, that's your gimmick. Not now we're going to be also a really complex 3D platformer on top of it. Too much for me.
So it's like one of those like where you kind of have to like time the jumps and do like that.
There are moments like that. Yes.
It's not as bad as the Star Wars game, but it is a lot more of like Assassin's Creed. Oh, I meant to jump on that ledge. That's literally right there off into your death. And so you're like, fuck, now I have to go all the way back here where my campsite was and start over again.
There's fall damage.
There's fall off the map. And there is damage.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, there is also fall damage.
Because I just got to this point where I had to, like, use these cranes and, like, maneuver these, like, I don't know, beams so I could cross a thing and, like, go down this pipe and then, like, jump over another pipe. But there's an enemy, like, spewing shit at me. So I had to, like, jump over. Like, I don't want to do all that. I just want to wander around and then, like, have these kind of complicated.
I got bad news for you, buddy. That's not even some of the platforming I was talking about.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't mind playing it in short bursts. Like, I get to, like, one or two campsites later, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I want to switch to something a little less, like, edge of my seat, trying to, like, hold down this combat and not die and lose all my progress from the last 20 minutes.
Sure. It's a about to get a little bit less breakneck for you.
Okay. Because it also gets to the point now where I get to a boss or a hard area and I die and I lose like 10 minutes of progress. It's only 10 minutes, but I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do all that again. I'm going to stop and then come back an hour or two later and pick that back up.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like hearing it's 40 hours, it's like, oh, fuck. I'm going to finish this by Christmas maybe, you know? I don't...
Again, that seems to depend on how much, you know, effort you want to put into like everything that's also in this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you can play this game, but then there's also other stuff to do in
gotcha.
This game.
Gotcha. Okay. So I guess that some of that hasn't really opened up.
Not at
me
all.
Yet.
You're not even close.
I didn't
to
think so
there.
Because I put in my like proceeding. My code for my cool red pre-order bonus costume mm-hmm. with the glasses.
Yes.
Still can't change into it yet. I can't find. I have to. Mm-hmm. I looked it up. I have to like go, like get to a point where I can change costumes. And obviously, I'm not to that point 5 hours in.
You should. There should be some of the bigger campsites.
Oh, maybe I just missed it.
There should be, like, if you go to your, like, upgrade your character, you can mm-hmm. probably buy it there.
Oh, I have like, to buy it.
If it's, you can either, it's in your inventory already unlocked.
Mm-hmm. Nope, like, it's not there. I checked.
Okay, so then, yes, you need to go to the thing to, like, basically.
It did say to go somewhere to, like, unlock it.
You have to give it the resources to, like, unlock it.
How do we feel about that?
I don't like that.
Like, if I get a pre-order bonus or whatever,
just give it to me.
I shouldn't have to, like, spend in-game resources to, like, unlock the
Your
ability.
Glasses
that's
should
that's
be
what
there
bonus
already.
Means. It means it's given to you.
Yeah, I haven't used my code, so I couldn't tell you where it
Interesting.
Is.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't see anything in my inventory, so I guess I have to go find it.
Your glasses aren't there either?
Mm-mm.
It's all blank. That, you know, maybe that is a separate point. I don't know.
I gotcha.
It might be when you get to the next area.
Mm-hmm. I knew this was a longer game, but it's just like I did that part. Now I'm like in an underground sewer, or like a flooded city, or
so yeah. World 1-2,
basically.
Kind of. Yeah, you're still in like the first level.
God damn it! Okay, I thought I was making such good progress this weekend. Apparently, I am not. But I feel like I played it for a long time. But then I check my hour count. And it's like 5 hours. I'm like, oh, I definitely feel like I've played more than that. But it's, I think I just play it.
Still seems
in those
like a
small
long
bursts.
Time for one level.
I am doing a lot of exploring.
Not in a bad way.
Well, it's okay. I mean, I'm doing a lot of exploring. And also, I'm like not great at these type of combat games, so I do die a fair amount. And I also like jump off ledges, you know, accidentally, and that makes me go back too.
You weren't doing it on purpose?
Ah, you know. I'd also overexplore all these types of games to the
point.
Well,
that's what's great
to.
About this game is that that's one of the things you can do.
Yeah.
And rewards you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like the combat has gotten easier because I have a bunch of cool shit. Or
and
better shit that I keep upgrading.
So.
Okay, good. Then maybe I'll be able to play it in longer stretches and not feel so like the butt clench as I do this.
Gives you more opportunities to make combat a little bit easier, but you, as you play this, you will just inherently get better at it.
Okay, that's fair. This is one of those games like God of War. I feel like I can't play it without my fancy like edge controller
Your
because of the
buttons.
Back paddles.
I feel like that would be awesome to play with those.
I don't know if you can change your controls. I know typically when you play a Souls game, attacks on like R1 and R2, mm-hmm. but on this one it's on square and triangle. Like, can you change that? Did you do that? Or you
I didn't
still...
do that. No, I just went.
That seems really.
If you can't do it in game, I think the system actually has settings that you can change.
I think
like,
you're right. Yeah. Because it seems a lot more challenging to try to like use your thumb to press square and triangle to attack while also trying to press circle to dodge. As opposed to, I understand now why like Dark Souls is on the triggers, so you can have your thumbs free to like look around or to dodge. Or like me, back paddles all day, dodge on one, parry on the other. It makes it a whole lot easier.
To me, it's, you know, the parry is like the main.
Oh, so you parry more than you dodge?
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh, I dodge more than I parry. Am I doing it wrong?
You're slowing yourself down. You're slowing combat down. Later on, you're going to want to have started practicing more parrying.
Okay, gotcha. That's good to know.
If you see some enemies and some bosses have like those little yellow dots below their health bar.
Okay.
You'll see those. Those are like, it's like a parry count. And if you can like parry them and knock that meter down, you can do like a special attack and like do massive damage.
Okay, I've done that randomly, but I never knew.
Yeah, because you did enough parries.
That's good to know. No, like I said, it's really fun. At first, I was playing it. I'm like, man, this like falls into that category we talked about not too long ago, with, like Mega Man, where it's like I really like this game and I'm really bad at it. But I am getting better, so I understand like that satisfaction now of like, oh, I'm getting it. And then you fight a dude who you struggled with previously.
Yep.
And then you beat his ass. And it's like, man, I am the Stellar Blade. So yeah, hopefully to have play some more of that this week. I was hoping to finish it before our panel this weekend, but it sounds like that's not gonna happen if it's that long.
Just quit your job.
Yeah.
Ooh, then... good idea. And just do that for 40 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Easy.
Let's see. Oh yeah, other housekeeping. In the middle of what we've been playing, Persona 3 Reload spoiler cast.
Yes.
Dropping Sunday, May 19th. So that's in a little under 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How are, real quick, so we're going to go obviously more detail there. How are our catcher uppers doing with Persona 3?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
I am. I've got like 20 hours in now. So I've
80
to
go.
I've hit the next like border wall in the second level.
The second one. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Okay.
Good.
So kind of just like playing out the clock, waiting to fight, I guess, whatever boss that is.
Okay.
Then I'm about caught up with you.
Yeah.
About to say, I was playing more of that this weekend too. I was like, I cannot let John Michael catch me up.
I'm gonna.
I don't know, man, because I'm on the okay. So you know, it's all in the cycles of the moon, and you fight like 12 of them. I'm on the last one.
Oh, okay, then I might not.
Like, I've finished the Tartarus climbing. I'm just waiting to get to.
Catch up. Wait, so I've got 11 fucking more cycles to go.
I think no, because I think you only have to fight 10 of them. Because I think the first two
don't count.
Gotcha.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Just like high school.
what calendar month are you in?
Like coming up on the end of May?
I just started June, I think.
Okay. I'm in like November.
I like basically just finished exams, midterm.
Midterms.
Okay. Yeah. I laughed you. I'm ahead.
So you haven't gone to the beach yet?
No.
Okay. No, I haven't gone to the beach.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like spend so much time in Tartarus just grinding.
That's what I did. Yeah.
It's like I go there one night and I feel like by the next time I go, I'm like having to do like the last three floors of where I got to because that's the only enemies like giving me experience at that point.
Oh, really?
What level are you right now?
All my characters just hit like 19 and 20.
Okay. Yeah, you're a little more leveled than I am too. I'm at like 18, I think. So.
Yeah.
Cool. 57.
And I've also been doing like a lot more experiment with like fusions.
Oh, yeah. I love the fusions.
Since last fusion time, because that was one thing Renee mentioned. Like, just do it. Because I have like a lot of those social links where I'm ranking up personas I don't have.
Oh, yeah.
But it's always so satisfying when you finally get to a fusion and it does it and you're like, oh, this is going to be level 10. Like, I've never fused something from the Star Arcana, but guess what? Now it's level 10 because I've ranked out that buddy.
But I'm definitely starting to like love the more, like, I can carry 8, but I'm down to, like, 4 because I fused them, but the moves I keep, like, keep all the elements, but...
Gotta put growth on them.
Yeah. Man, one thing I've noticed is, so I just got the option for, like, people to scout, and I feel like whenever I played P3P, that was, like, something that I was doing long before this point in the game.
It was different in that, but it's like they reworked that.
Yeah, I guess it's because it's like, in P3P, it was like all the characters ran around.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, but you all still like met up for battle.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was like someone goes and scouts, but they're out of your battle, but then they meet up on the next floor and like give you all the items they found.
I always tell them no. Like, let's scout out. I'm like, no.
Well, yeah, I did it once. I did it once, and that's what got Junpei behind. Uh-huh. He's the fucking 19. They all should be 20.
You'll encounter something later in the game that they help with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine. I figured I could just grind him up. But yeah, and I got, what's his face?
Akihiko.
Yeah, he's cool.
Mr. Punch Man.
At first, I was laughing because it's like everyone had kind of like leveled up weapons and stuff and looked kind of cool. And then he comes rocking in these fucking blue boxing gloves.
gets these really cute boxing gloves. And one is Jack Frost and the other one is Pyro Jack. So he's like,
what I've got right now is like sword blades.
Yeah. So cool.
Assassin
Wolverine.
From Diablo.
But I'll tell you right now, Akihiko is one of the best characters in any Persona game.
Nice. Yeah, that is true.
He seems like a badass.
And we can talk about this more on the spoiler cast, but can we talk about how like the main cast is so good in this game and all like the support cast are like Arcana people are terrible?
You mean like the social links?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
And how they're like awful and the worst ones in the game.
So far, the only ones I have that I like is the old man that runs the bookstore.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He's like, him and the old lady are
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, everyone else like really like kind of shitty people. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but also what the best social link in the entire series is in this game.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's the person who shows up at the park. Well, who do you think? Because
No, I agree. Yeah,
oh,
Akinari.
Yeah, Akinari. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
one.
That is the best, most impactful.
Oh yeah,
I'm just saying. Yeah, in bulk.
That's one I haven't done much of. Yeah.
So just in general, I feel like I hate most.
Oh,
of these
absolutely. So well, you don't like the Food King.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's like, him and the horny kid and yeah.
But there are some good ones, you know. I like the kid that you meet up, who's the competitive runner, who's like
rival. Yeah,
the rival's a good one.
Yeah,
yeah. What does he say? He's acting up at the beginning. By the way, he's like holding his knee. He's like on the ground, grabbing his knee, and he says something. His anemia is acting up.
When you've got thin blood, man.
Yeah.
It's...
I also think too, when I first played this on P3P 15 years ago, I didn't get the social links as far because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Uh-huh. So now I'm like seeing more of these stories. So yeah, I would agree. The social links are much stronger in 5.
Yeah.
And probably even 4. It's been a while since I've played 4 to remember all those. But yeah. Got to start somewhere. And then yeah, it's funny because I'm playing this with my girlfriend and I always just look to her to answer the questions because she's really good at telling the people what they want to hear. And I always tell them like the wrong thing and they get mad at me.
Ooh, one thing I found out that I like is when the class is like asking you questions.
Oh, yeah.
You can actually hit the network button, and it tells you like what most people have guessed. So now I'm like starting to get questions right.
Oh, see, every time the game turns on, it's like, do you want to turn on network features? I'm like, no. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yes.
Well, see, as a new player, like to me, it's phenomenal.
I don't want to know what other people are doing. I don't want other people influencing my decisions. What else am I going
to
do online?
I want them to have the data from my decision.
No. They can upload all that later.
That's very
it's fine.
I don't need to know what they did. I need them to know what I did.
Yeah. Pure experience. It's like when I played Until Dawn. No online feed. No, I don't want to know what other people are doing.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's totally different.
Don't want them influencing whoever is the fucking head at whatever period my history teacher doesn't want to talk about but keeps talking about and then asks.
And
like,
I get it. But in a game like this that has like an overwhelming amount of decisions at times, like it helps to kind of lock in like that choice paralysis for other people who are like, I don't know.
But
what
if I want to do that,
I should
open a guide and just get all the 3 music note answers and keep my going all of my day.
Yeah, but maybe people just want a hint, you know?
I do that. Fair. I use the guide. That's
yeah.
how
I
got.
I love a guide.
Yeah.
I'm about to start using a guide so I can power through this faster.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Who cares?
I really like the feature of seeing, you know, at this time of day, on this day, like what people were doing.
Oh, sure.
Because it doesn't give you like a concrete answer. It gives you like,
it says
this percentage went to Tartarus and did these things. They were this average level.
Wow.
And then it's like 56% did some sort of these 12 activities.
As
so
a data nerd, that all
like,
is very interesting. After
yeah,
fact
it could be like
yeah.
went to the arcade, but it doesn't tell you what game they
right.
played in the arcade.
Like, it just tells you like, and it doesn't tell you what percentage of those 50% went to the arcade. It's just on the list.
No, that's fair.
But it's cool. One thing I want to ask though, because the only thing that's kind of like a slog to me in this game is like, I get it because of what it is and where it takes place and what's going on.
But everyone's talking constantly? Yes. You just
want not that, but just like, it feels like there's only like the same like 6 places you go. Is there any kind of like new little areas or anything that open up? Okay.
Yes. It's not Persona 5 where you can go over to like 20 different places across the entire like Tokyo.
I don't even
map.
Know about that.
Well, you will.
I just mean like it's one of those like, man, I'm like 20 hours in and I've seen like the same 5 places.
Well, I hope you start to fall in love with them.
Yeah, I mean it's not bad. The music's great.
I think you'll find 2 more than you haven't already found. Maybe like the place with the movie theater.
I've seen that.
And it might feel like a slog because you're not quick traveling. Are you quick traveling everywhere?
Isn't that all you can do?
No,
you can
walk. You can literally run. You can leave your dorm.
I mean,
you can
I
leave
do that,
thing.
But it's like only 2 screens. It takes like 3 seconds.
Oh no!
Yeah.
L1
yeah,
from the
on.
Thing to the ball to club escapade.
3 seconds multiplied by like 7,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times.
I mean, I use the quick travel as well. I also
let him get to 60 hours, and he's like, "Oh my god, I've had to go to the fucking mall one more fucking time."
But I also
like walking around the school.
But there's also
like
there's also like walking around though because they have those little gyms you can find to open the chest.
Yeah,
that's Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this game is Pokemon.
I mean,
tarot card Pokemon.
That's true, but I found all those gems in the first hour and a half.
Yeah, they don't that was replenish. Like, there's that was, like new secret areas.
Oh, well, fuck. One,
there are a limited number of those.
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm using more quick travel.
Yeah, which is great because this game was like, oh, cool, we can finally like run around the full map. And it's like, no, I'm still going to use the quick travel.
I pretty much have divided up each like lunar cycle into two or three play sessions where like I'll go to Tartarus and that's at whole place. That's like 3 or 4 hours just going all the way to Tartarus in one night. Mm. And then I'll do the other 27 days of stuff up to like, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 days, because I don't know if you've hit this yet, where people get lost in Tartarus and you have to go find them.
I just did.
Okay.
With Elizabeth's request. Yeah.
So usually I'll save that to the very end and also hit another thing I don't think you've been introduced to yet. And then fight the boss. So then it's like each cycle is those three times. So then it's like, all right, three play sessions each time, get through my stuff. Like
easy,
I'm really
easy.
Methodically getting this done now because
yeah. Also
yeah, less than 2 weeks.
I think the coolest thing about the game, spoiler alert, seeing Hideo Kojima on the wanted bulletin board.
It's very good.
It's funny because it could be a weird little Easter egg because in Persona 3 Portable, if you go to the club, there's this guy who's sitting at the bar by himself mm-hmm. with like a little puffy afro, and that's supposed to be Vincent from Catherine, which came out two years after Persona 3 Portable. So they put little Easter eggs in there. I'm not saying it's mm-hmm. Kojima, but I mean, it might be.
I mean, this
like,
game's from PS2 when he was like,
that's
huge. So
you
I
never
think
know.
If you talk to him enough times over the course of nights, he does end up getting like a sprite. Like,
yeah, and it's him. And he talks about like dreaming and sheep yeah. and like falling in his dreams or something, if what I recall else? Correctly. So
I also will just give everyone a little tip. There's this persona called Elagor. It's a level 31 persona. It's the Tower Arcana. This is really something that helped me. So you level it up until it gets to level 36 and it learns this ability called Life Aid. I think it's the first persona that learns this. And it's recover 8% of your max HP and SP okay. after winning a battle.
Oh you my god.
You never have to worry about SP ever
yep,
again.
Easy.
That's that. Oh.
So the second you see that. Like this armored guy on a horse that like looks pretty badass and fluffy,
yep.
get him.
Yep.
Elagor, get him. Life Aid, so really. Fucking
I've been,
good.
I've been wondering if there was going to be something, some ability mm-hmm. like that. Because I've started noticing my personas getting abilities. Like now my main character gets like plus defense for the first 3 turns because of
yeah.
like
yeah.
a passive ability. Mm-hmm. And oh, that's another thing that makes this game so great that it's like 20 hours in, I'm just seeing passive abilities. And it's
yeah.
Yes. Definitely more will start coming in and then they get better. It's funny if you Google Elagor Persona 3, like the AI answer Google mm-hmm. gives you, the first thing they do is talk about that ability and how it gives you 8%
so fucking good. It's so broken.
I didn't know that. I mean, I got that persona. I think I immediately like, I didn't use him. I immediately like, he was fuse fodder, mm-hmm. but I might go look into that. I haven't really had much problem where I am now with SP mm-hmm. or now I have so much SP stuff because you can grow spinach
yeah.
on the roof
yeah.
and that just
soul
gives
spinach.
You yeah soul
okay.
spinach and that
okay.
gives you 30
so
SP.
I just got the ability to do the
yeah,
garden
got some
so
tomatoes.
That's yeah. that's good to know because yeah my thing is like I grind until I run out of SP it's,
yeah.
and it's like
absolutely.
I still have full HP but it's like I
yeah
I'm at the point where I can't just
and then
it, slash
well
you,
then
so.
Eventually once you get more party members you can just line swap some of them and then all you have to worry about is your SP
oh nice so it
then,
ends up working like that like mm-hmm. FF10
yeah exactly
yes.
okay
well now you can't swap in battle you have to go back to the Tartarus like lobby but
that's
once
still,
you get a teleporter you go down
weird.
Come
that's
back
still
yeah.
pretty cool
mm-hmm.
yeah all right
Persona 3 Reload spoiler
why
cast
why even play this sounds amazing
Sunday May 19th look for it there Neil what else have you been playing
oh so yeah got this little game. It was actually a recommendation from a friend of the show, Scott. But it's called Mini Shoot Adventure. It is fucking terribly named.
What are you playing this on?
Steam.
Okay.
I think it's the only thing it's available on right now. But it's a little $15 game. The graphics also, like, they look clean, but they're nothing, like, special, you know? Nothing that really stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But Steven... John Michael, probably you, maybe. This is a game that might be right up y'all's alley because it
okay.
is basically a top-down 2D Zelda game, but it's a twin-stick shooter. So it's like you're
okay.
playing a Zelda adventure, but like a bullet hell game.
Oh yes. My god!
Right, well, I'm downloading this so as soon as I get home.
It's incredible because like the controls are like so good, like better than most twin stick shooters I've played. And what I really like about it is that, you know, it doesn't really do much on like story. Like the story is like, yo, corruption's up on the land. Your four friends got crystallized. Help me out. Go.
You are selling me That's further. That's
it. That's the story. And yeah, from there, it's like, you know, you go through just like a Zelda game. Like you find all these areas. They're secret areas, almost like Metroidvania style, where you have yes. to come back with other abilities after you upgrade and stuff.
Downloading this.
But yeah. And so it's like, you know, you shoot everything. You gain currencies. Those currencies you use to like upgrade your stats. But as you're going through the game, there's not only dungeons and bosses, there's mini bosses all over the place. When you beat them, you get the currencies that you use to, like, once you unlock your friends that you save out of the crystals, they sell you, like, weapon upgrades and stuff. So you use that currency for that. But one thing I also really love about this game is whenever you kill an enemy, you know how, like, stuff flies out all over the ground?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, it just automatically goes to your inventory. You don't have to, nice. Like, drive over it auto or, like, up. Yeah. No, it's not even, like, really auto-pick. It's just, like,
you
it just, goes.
You got it.
Yeah. So, man, highly fucking recommend this game because it's
absolutely
it's exciting. One of those games, yeah, like, the name is stupid. Like, the way it looks almost looks like it could just be, like, this cheap mobile game that's worth nothing. But, man, it is, like, a genius mashup of genres that is
that
really
good.
That
sounds super appealing.
Nice. Then, is that you're playing on Steam?
Yes.
Yep.
Do you have a Steam Deck, or are you just playing
no,
on your computer?
No, it is Steam Deck compatible, though.
Okay.
The only thing I like heard about the Steam Deck is the final boss area gets so like overloaded with bullets and shit going on yeah. that it can make the game stutter really bad. Mm. But the fix is like if you switch it to like 720p resolution, then it runs perfect.
Cross that bridge when I get there.
So, but yeah. I would love to have a Steam Deck for this game, that's for sure. I'm just playing it with a DualShock 4 on my laptop. But
nice.
It runs amazing. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Check it out. Mini Shoot Adventures.
Mini Shoot Adventure.
Mini, M-I-N-I.
Yes. Like shoot.
Not,
one word.
Not a lot of shooting, but there is yeah. a lot of shooting. But yeah. small
Singular
shooting.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like one word, mini shoot, and then adventure. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, man. That's it for what we've been playing this week. But before we move on to news, let's take a trip back to the past with Retro Rewind. Not what I have written down here, but a quick happy birthday to the Sega Saturn, which turns 29 years old this week.
It can finally drink.
I didn't have one of those.
Funny
so
story
I have nothing to say.
About the Saturn. I didn't have one, but a friend of mine back in 1995... I figured out a way to generate credit card numbers using computer software, because that's what you do when you're 14 years old.
Yeah,
and sure. Let me tell you, he ordered a Sega Saturn and a bunch of games with stolen credit card numbers.
Nice.
So we played a lot of Bug. Yeah. We played a lot of whatever he had at the time, and then the FBI visited him a few months later. So
did he get to keep the Sega Saturn?
I don't know. I don't know what happened with all that. But that at that time, that was my experience with the Saturn. I ended up getting a Sega Saturn much later.
Mm.
And that's a great, interesting system.
I got a Japanese Sega Saturn. Whoa. And I was like saving up money. I was like trying to save up the $400 to get Radiant Silver Gun. And like right when I was about to pull the trigger to buy it, it was announced that it was coming to Xbox 360. So I got that instead. And then bought a bunch of Japanese games.
That's cool.
I was a Sega household growing up, as y'all know, because my dad said Nintendo was stupid.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I wanted a Sega Saturn, but I didn't get one because he also said that was stupid. But instead, sure, I got a PlayStation. Well, so plus one to Walt for that one.
That works out.
Yeah.
PlayStation was pretty sweet.
But for the official, I guess, Retro Rewind for this week, I don't even know if y'all played this. I just put it down because I fucking love this game. May 6, 2008, on the Wii, Steven Spielberg presents Boom Blocks. Came out 18 years ago, motion control game on the Wii where you just fling a ball at blocks with point numbers on them and they fall over. And that's the game, but it's really fun and really addicting.
So, E3 2006. 2006. Like, okay. Or 2007? I don't know. It was 2007. No, it was 2006. It does not matter. I waited in that line.
So wait, Blue Box?
No. But we'll get there. I waited in that line for like 6 hours to play the Wii.
Oh, to play the Wii, yeah.
So I'm like, I'm standing. It's the third day of E3. I've been standing in this line all day. And I'm finally like, there's like 20 people ahead of me to get into this Wii area. And, you know, there's a crowd of people walking towards that. We're not in this line. There's a crowd of people walking towards the entrance, and it's motherfucking Steven Spielberg and like his entourage. Mm-hmm. And they just let his ass in there. Like, now that's understandable.
Like, hey, Steve, okay? The line's back here.
Because he's a developer, right? He's making Boom Blocks. Not that this has even been announced at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that that cachet and just be able to be ushered into the Wii playable area. And maybe when he got his hand on the Wii controller and experienced motion control for the first time, maybe that's when he got the idea for Boom Blocks. Just in that the same room that I was playing Wii Sports, but mm-hmm. I never played Boom Blocks, but I recommended it a lot to a lot of people.
That's mm-hmm. what I remember right? of the game. Is
I
that
sold
it, was,
it a lot?
Yeah, I always pushed it during the holiday season.
I don't even know what that game is. Like, what are you throwing blocks?
It's just like a physics based
puzzle.
That's
game.
Fun.
Like puzzle game. Yeah.
You just throw knocking
Angry
blocks
Birds,
over.
But in 3D. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And weren't there two of them?
Yeah, Boom Blocks Bash Party came out in 2009.
Yeah.
But like, this is one of those games, like, I regularly got my parents to play this with me.
That's
like,
fun.
We all got to play it, which was fun memories, right? Because, hell, I remember, like, within the last 5 years, my dad asking if they could have the Wii of mine so they could set it up.
Whoa.
And he specifically remembered this game.
He recently wanted to play Boom
yes,
Blocks.
Yes, he did.
He's jonesing for some blocks.
And I was like, no, you can't have my Wii. It's in a box somewhere, and y'all are going to play it once and never play it again. Plus, you said Nintendo was stupid when I was five, so you cannot have my Nintendo.
You back then, you know, you couldn't motion control
Mario.
Motion
yeah. control.
It was stupid controls. Until they introduced motion controls.
But yeah, I mean, Renee, we sold a lot of John yeah. Michael Neil. Yeah. We sold a lot of Boom Blocks back in the day because it was just an easy recommend.
It was a hit.
Yeah,
and then I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I've played it for like 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but it was like 20 minutes. I vividly remember. I mean, it's a very very unique. Game.
We all have the for that 20 minutes.
Or yeah.
What's funny is this game also eventually came out on N-Gage.
That's the version I want to play.
Wait,
yes.
I feel
the Boom Blocks Tomb Raider collection.
I feel like that's a downgrade at that time. Like 2008 yeah. still seems really late for the N-Gage.
Yeah.
Well, there were two different models of the N-Gage. Maybe that was going to be the. I don't know. When did that even come out on N-Gage? When did Boom Blocks?
I'm on this Wikipedia page. It just says platforms Wii and N-Gage.
That's crazy.
It looks like they came out on the same day.
I'm starting to watch some video of Boom Blocks on the N-Gage right now.
Like that has to be a completely different
December
game.
3rd, yeah, 2008. So about 6 months later is when it came out on the N-Gage.
So
they had to wait for the upgrades on that one.
Ooh, there are 3D blocks on the N-Gage version.
Nice.
There's like a town that looks like Old West.
This person,
you are aiming at a 3D setup of blocks. And it looks like you just you hold a button down and then release it to launch the block.
This
so
looks like
that's not as fun.
It's also wild to me that this came out in 2008 when we all
kind of moves.
I was playing Angry Birds on my iPod Touch in my college classes. Like that
you
looked
have been
way
paying attention.
I should have been paying attention. Maybe I'd be an engineer these days, not whatever I am now. But that looked certainly better than this on the N-Gage, which is funny that this N-Gage still existed. Yeah, it's funny how like. An N-Gage is like old tech, but it technically crosses over like with tech we have now, like new, like mm-hmm. current smartphones. It's a weird time, the mid 2000s.
Yeah, it's a weird generational gap.
Love to take the battery out of the phone to swap the game. the game slot in the N-Gage is under the battery.
Genius.
I just liked when I could take my battery out of my phone and swap it out.
Right?
You know, like
what's the last
times.
Phone you could do that?
Mine Lumia? Was a
Razer.
HTC Razer. Incredible.
Mine was an LG G3.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. When I would go to E3, I would bring like multiple batteries with me for my phone because it wouldn't stay charged the whole day when I'm trying to live tweet my experiences from the show floor.
It's batteries were cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Not anymore.
Let's talk about some news.
Okay.
This is still the weekly reminder that everyone should play Helldivers 2 because it's great. except there's a little bit of a kerfuffle over the weekend regarding...
I could have sworn you were going to remind us that we were on Spotify.
We are also on Spotify, so you should do that too while you play Helldivers 2. Wow, so this was like a whole adventure that took place really quickly over 48 hours.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where... Okay, so let's...
Back in time.
Tell us a story.
Yeah, tell us a freaking story.
So Helldivers 2 is out on PlayStation 5 and PC, right? And when the game, when you buy the game on PC, it tells you on the Steam page, you have to log in on PSN. But when the game launched, they were having server issues. Mm-hmm. So they did away with the mandatory PSN login and just let everyone play. Helldivers takes off. Great community. I sent y'all a news article from last week that it was like the best-selling premium game so far of 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Friday comes around, and all of a sudden, Sony's like, oh, hey, remember how we told y'all, like, you have to log in on your PlayStation Network?
Surprise.
Surprise, you have to log in on your PlayStation Network, and obviously the PC community threw a fit. But as it kind of kept evolving, some of them actually had points.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not just another login you had to do, which I initially thought. The problem was they were selling the game in countries that don't support PSN.
I will say I still think it was probably like 75% of the people causing the uproar. It probably didn't affect at all.
Oh, absolutely. So like in typical pissed off internet fashion, they were review bombing the Steam review pages like a lot of disgruntled gamers like to do.
As pushed by the community manager, I believe.
But then you started seeing posts from Discord from the community managers who like didn't know what was going on or like being kind of flippant about it because they're like, oh, it's not us. Sony's making us do this.
Right.
And then like, yeah, go give negative whatever because then we can see, you know. So eventually over the weekend, over 200,000 negative reviews popped up on the Steam page.
Yeah.
And after all of that, I mean, people were getting to refund it. Like, they were sharing on Reddit how you can refund the game if you played it for over 2 hours. Some people were playing, like, 90 hours and getting refunds because of this. Some people, like, were posting that they were canceling their PSN. They're like, I'm never buying Sony games again. Whatever. A little excessive. That's fine. Stand with your feather.
Wait.
Helldiving brethren.
You're making me sign into this thing. I have it, but I'm canceling it.
I know. So after all of that, late last night or early this morning, Sony was like, okay, guys, we're not going to make you do this anymore. Heard you loud and cloud and clear for
bullying
now.
Works.
Yeah. So as of right now, as of this recording, it's continuing on where you don't have to log in to your PlayStation Network. Another thing people are sharing, apparently in the UK or in the EU, you have to like give your driver's license or like a photo of yourself to like verify your PSN login or something.
That's wacky.
That's bullshit. I still have to log into my PSN to play it.
Then eventually I think Sony or Steam or someone quit selling the game in those countries that didn't support PSN. It was
got
like
delisted.
It was like a whole fucking mess. But yes, I guess make enough noise.
Wins.
And the news came out that they no longer have to log in on PSN. And now, in a slight turn of hand, now you see Reddit posts being like, all right, guys, now you have to go change your negative review to a positive review because we won. But then you actually see, like, the blue bar was up a lot today.
Yeah, well.
Like, that's one thing about the Helldivers community is very strong because it's a very, like, objective-based game. There was a major order, which is like a weekly challenge a couple weeks ago, where you had to kill 2 billion bugs, the Terminids, and within 5 days, like as a community. And it was completed in 12 hours.
Whoa.
2 billion bugs.
Wacky.
So when the community wants to come together, they certainly do. And it is funny seeing this push, like, all right, guys, like, we proved our point. Now please change your review back to positive because we want this game, you know, to continue to grow and thrive.
And this is why unions are good. Thank you for tuning into Marxist Express.
But yeah, like Neil said, I have a feeling most of the people.
I do support it, by the way. It didn't sound flippant because I do agree this is how it should be.
A lot of people weren't affected by this, but there are a lot of people like, well, I play on PlayStation, but I'm still standing, you know, with my PC brothers and all this stuff.
Fuck yeah.
Stand up for what you believe in.
So now that that's resolved, Everyone should play Helldivers 2 because it's a very fun video game.
For now.
Switching into some Elden Ring news. Anybody checked out this Elden Ring DLC? Is it out yet? Not yet.
It comes out in June.
Thank you. So that comes out in June, and Miyazaki, the director, came out and said that we're not doing any more DLC after this one.
Get one.
This is it, but maybe a sequel.
Originally, this was supposed to be two DLCs, and like a year and a half ago, they said, actually, this is just going to be one big one.
One big old DLC.
Elden Ring, The Two Towers.
Love it. And the sequel will be Return of the Elden King.
I mean, it's probably a stupid question, but I assume y'all are very excited. You're going to check out this DLC. Yeah.
Check it out. See what's going on in there.
Yeah. Just, casually. I'll see what's up.
Yeah.
It seems less like excitement and more like you have to.
No, it's going to be great.
It's just a foregone conclusion.
I'm not counting down the days, but once it's available, I'll hit the download button.
Yeah.
They should add the ability to be able to pet Torrent.
I know, right?
That's all I want.
It might.
If Elden Ring's not really your thing, maybe Hades 2 is.
Whoa.
If you didn't get a chance to play in that technical alpha that they had last month, Hades 2 is now out in early access on Steam and on Epic Games Store.
Technical beta?
No. It's early access.
Which is technically a beta.
Sure, yeah. Weird.
I think the first game was in early access for a good long while before it officially released, 22 right?
22 months.
20, gee, really?
22 months. I looked at it. Yeah.
So that means it was for sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't play it until it came out on, I think Switch was the first console it came out on, and that's what I first picked it up in. So I guess that means we can play Hades 2 on Switch in like 2026?
Yeah, and I mean, it's, well, you know.
On Switch?
Switch 2.
Super Switch.
Production times are longer now, so we'll call it 2027, 2028.
Man, it's funny because obviously when the first game came out, I didn't know what this was. So it wasn't early access for however long. Now it didn't matter. Now I know about this. And it's like, well, fuck.
Surprise.
It's like, I'm not going to play this in early access because that'd be crazy. But it's like,
What if I did?
I have to wait so long. It's like, oh, the movie comes out in 2 years, but I just read the book right now and know it happens.
Sure, yeah.
But I just want to watch the movie instead.
Can't. Not allowed.
Early access. Well, maybe Hades isn't your thing. Maybe you like Batman.
Oh, love that.
Anyone
guy.
Anyone like the Batman Arkham series?
Heard of it.
After the wonderfully, I can't even be sarcastic. After the failed launch of Suicide Squad and that series, quotes, maybe a nice return to form with Batman Arkham Shadow.
I'd love to go back to just Batman
announced
Arkham
later
games.
This year.
Sure.
The Oculus Rift. Or what is it called now? The Quest?
MetaQuest 3.
Only for the MetaQuest 3.
You know, it's from the developer, I think, that did the Iron Man VR.
It is.
I didn't play that.
I didn't play that either.
People liked it. I don't know.
Iron Man did.
It seems really shitty that all these years later, like, we still have VR headset exclusive games, because the VR, ecosystem is so small already.
Yeah.
You're not buying multiple VR headsets like you buy multiple consoles. So the fact that I already have fucking two VR headsets, and that's two too many.
Well, it sounds like you are buying multiple VR headsets.
Yeah, 8 years later I picked up a second one, you're right. And it was not the MetaQuest 3.
We can't play it.
Well, not right now. You might later you might be able to plug that PSVR 2 up to a PC.
Yeah.
Sony's been talking about doing that.
So it's kind of a bummer that I won't be able to play at Batman Arkham Shadow. Not that I would. I didn't play Batman VR.
I was going to ask, did you play the other Batman
E3 2017, 18?
You played it there.
I did. Oh. I played it there.
So you know the story already.
Already.
You know the VR story.
They put out a quick teaser kind of trailer. A reveal trailer will come out at Summer Games Fest, Keeley Party on June 7th.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're teasing the Rat Catcher as the villain for this.
Oh.
You know, hot Batman rogue.
Yeah.
The Rat Catcher.
Okay.
Rat Catcher 2 was in that Suicide Squad movie, which was good.
Yeah, it's just an interesting pull.
I guess, like, it's one of those where it's like, you can't have a real villain because this is a weird side spin-off VR game.
I guess it's true. Why, I guess.
So
I
don't know. Like you have to pull from like the D tier of Batman villains.
Make it all, oops, all Killer Croc or something.
I know, right? Like you can just, I guess they already did that. They wanted some, I don't know.
Wouldn't a great VR game be that you are Batman running just, away from Killer Croc?
That'd be, because he just turns like, ah, my crocodile.
Exactly.
Now it's just like rats. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah, that's not. No.
Just give me a rat war. Tech has advanced pretty greatly. Rats run around walls and stuff.
Gross.
Just give me scarecrow levels in VR.
Yeah, that sounds cool too. Why couldn't they just do that?
That would be really trippy. So many things sound better than
Batman working at a convenience store and like having to like in VR. You know?
Give me Batman in VR, but it's boom blocks.
We're on the Batarang.
So
Bruce Wayne VR, you're going to board meetings and
you have to approve or like deny.
Yeah, exactly.
You stamp, you pick it up.
Nice. Yep.
You say boom blocks in VR, but when I got my HTC Vive, you could do the like Steam. It's like a bunch of mini games, mm-hmm. and one of them, you just launch companion cores, which talk to you from Portal, at like boxes.
I think I played that
and it's based,
on your
I think you did.
HTBC.
And that was like boom blocks, but in VR. And that was actually very cool. That was one of my favorite like VR little mini games you could do.
Time to bust it out.
All right, can I keep this segue going? Okay, say that Batman isn't your thing. Say you like The Boys or Mortal Kombat 1.
You gotta be careful how you say that.
Both, because a teaser trailer for the next Mortal Kombat 1 character pass character dropped, and Homelander.
He's here.
Had a quick 45-second teaser trailer where you can see him. Drink milk. Can you feel uncomfortable as you do that? As well as kind of teases of his two fatalities, which obviously have some references from the show.
Laser eyes.
And an airplane. Mm-hmm. No release date for Homelander yet, but in the official release on YouTube from, I guess, Ed Boon or Mortal Kombat, they specifically call out that The Boys Season 4 launches on June 13th.
I'm literally going to say, when does the Season 4 come out again? I'm going to guess that day.
Yeah, probably around then, because Omni-Man came out whenever Invincible dropped.
That's crazy.
A couple months ago.
That
so, also, if you're not watching Invincible on Amazon Prime, what the fuck are you doing? Because stop quickly listening to us and go watch that instead.
Yeah, it's like three episodes.
Well, you can't watch it on Spotify.
No, you cannot watch it on Spotify.
I can listen to it.
So. Okay, and then say. Okay, that's all I have. Let's talk about sad news.
Oh.
Take Two.
Yeah.
Are laying off people.
No. Why? Come on.
Yeah, it's rude.
So there's a lot to the story. Because some of this came from... Okay, let me see if I can like wrap my head around this whole...
So Take-Two owns Primary Division. Is that the other company? Is it Primary Division? Is that the name of it?
Private Division.
Private Division. Who has...
Huge difference.
Yeah, it is. What is it? Who are the other two? Take Seven?
It's Roll Seven and Intercept Games. So Roll Seven made Ali Ali World,
yes.
Rollerdrome, which are solid titles.
Not a Hero.
Yeah.
Not a Hero.
Which I highly recommend.
Intercept Games made Kerbal Space Program.
Two.
And they are closing down. Oh, no. Hold on. Sorry. This is... I'm literally reading this live, so if y'all have more stuff. Additional layoffs at Private Division following reports this week from the company set to close internal development studios, Roll 7, and Intercept Games.
Yeah.
Established in 2017 to publish games from top creative talent in the growing independent developed landscape, Private Division has an office in Singapore on top of Seattle, New York, Las Vegas, and Munich.
So they're closing all of them down?
Yes.
Yeah, those studios are just shuttered.
Mm-hmm.
So no more from those teams.
Last month, Take-Two said it planned to lay off 5% of its workforce, or around 600 people, as part of a cost-cutting measure. That would result in the cancellation of some of these game projects.
So there go those. I think one of these guys, I think the Ollie World people had started working on a project with Game Freak as well.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe Game Freak should just buy them.
Maybe they will.
It was announced last May that it had signed a new action-adventure IP from Pokemon Game Studio Game Freak, codenamed Project Bloom, which is expected to be released during Take-Two's fiscal year that ends in March 2026. So it's like 2025 fiscal.
So is that still happening? Or is that now shelved?
I mean, if they're closing down the studio, either they get bought or...
TDB.
They get it, so I don't know.
It says they're laying off about 600 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they met their goal. Good job.
Yay.
Take-Two not
so
leave
happy.
600.
That's pretty good.
Least favorite
Thank
Uno
you.
Cards.
Thank you.
As part of these efforts, the company is rationalizing its pipeline and eliminating several projects in development and streamlining its organizational structure, which will eliminate headcount and reduce future hiring needs. Mm-hmm. How many times have we read that, same exact...
Yeah.
I can probably copy and paste that into ChatGPT, and it'll just be whatever one we read last week.
Yeah,
like,
as these boards get bigger and richer, and then these development studios suffer for it.
Mm-hmm. The label continues to make updates to Kerbal Space Program 2 and plans to release Weta's Workshop's Game Studios Tales of the Shire, a Lord of the Rings game in the second half of 2024.
Should be interesting.
Oh, man. Last piece of news I have before we get into my new favorite segment of the show, Rumor Has It, revolves around Level 5, the people who make Professor Layton, which, fantastic series if you like quirky
Cooney,
little puzzle games.
Fantasy Life.
Very cute.
Didn't they also
make... Family-friendly
games. Were they the people that made... what's it called? PS2. Really good RPG.
Yes.
Rogue Galaxy.
That was them, yes.
So in a recent interview, Level 5 CEO Akihiro Hino talked about, he expressed interest in wanting to make, quote, erotic and violent games one day.
Oh.
Talking about how... He has ambitions to want to start his own company, his own game studio, so he doesn't have to meet the demands of a superior, and he can make the type of games he'd want to make, and it would be an erotic and violent game, which, if you haven't played any of those games we just listed leading up to that, they're all
they're beautiful and cutesy.
Not violent or
family
erotic.
Friendly. It's just also a very funny quote. This is a grown man, and it's like a dream and an aspiration of his. I can't wait to do it one day. When I grow up and get big, I want to make erotic and violent games.
He really goes into it in the interview,
too.
He's I have dark places in my mind I want to visit.
Quote, if I were to put it in extreme terms, I would go as far to say that I want to make things... like erotic games, 18-plus games with violence.
Yikes. What is this?
I'm kind of scared. Quote, I do. There's an abnormal world inside of me, but I'm not trying to go there. Only make things from the righteous part of my mind instead. However, deep down, I really want to visit that abnormal world.
Is there a serial killer loose in Japan right now? Because I think we found him.
Yeah.
Plenty. My favorite comment on I don't know if it was Twitter or Reddit or something, was someone just said, Professor gets laid tons. Favorite. Steven and I will just look at each other and fucking say, Professor gets laid tons.
That's really good.
Yeah. Just cry.
Another part of this interview I really love is that the other side of it was Suda51, who is on the opposite spectrum, where he's known for making very fucking violent video games.
Insane video games.
And he pretty much gushes about this idea and how it's Hino is holding something back from the world that it needs to experience.
He's like the devil on his shoulder.
Yeah.
That's cute.
It probably won't be violent or erotic, but there is a new Professor Layton game on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Professor Layton, the New World of Steam.
Ooh, steamy.
is
he started already.
Is still set to come out. The first Professor Layton game in over 6 years.
Dude, watch like now when you replay these games with that in mind, there's going to be like all this hidden like innuendo. Underlying violent and erotic
shit. That's the
shit.
Final puzzle in this.
They also have a new Fantasy Life game.
Oh, they will.
It's going to be a different kind of fantasy altogether. It's
supposed to come out in 2024.
Hell yeah.
The Girl Who Steals Time.
Dude, that is a 3DS game. That it's very good.
Fantasy Life was supposed to be a Dragon Quest game. Then they just said, we're just going to make it Fantasy Life.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because Level 5 made Dragon Quest 8 and 9.
Yeah, I forgot about that too.
Which
are two of the best Dragon Quest games out there.
The only one I've beaten.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Which is 8.
I was about to say 9 or 8.
I've never played 9.
Nine's what? So good.
I've
nine
literally so only good. Played
9 is
5,
like,
8, and 11.
I love 9, but it's the most unlike... Like
it's so weird.
Yeah, it's not really... It didn't feel like a Dragon Quest game, and I don't have a problem with that
at
all.
Yeah, there's not like
it's great.
Characters for your party, really.
No.
Like, you have to generate your own party characters.
It's really that, like, visit a town, solve their problem, visit a town, solve... If you like an RPG that does that, Dragon
I like
Quest
9. It's like the only one I've played.
9's great.
It has, an excellent job system.
Are you telling me that's abnormal for a Dragon Quest game?
Yes, everything about Dragon Quest 9 is abnormal for that franchise.
Man, why do I keep jumping in? Like, my first Final Fantasy was 8, which is very abnormal to every other Final Fantasy game.
I mean, yeah, because every Dragon Quest game I've played, like, it all just feels like a new graphical NES game. It just like is the same thing. And I love that about it.
Everyone talks with a bad British accent.
Yeah. Or Gaelic.
Yeah.
Man, I need
Scottish.
To like. I just want to go play Dragon Quest 9 again. Was that on DS or 3DS?
DS,
baby.
I
want
to play Dragon Quest 11. I got this other stupid RPG I have to finish.
Is that the online one? No, it's 10.
That was 10. 11's so good. Join me, brother.
Yeah.
Is 11 the one that was on PlayStation with the Halo button?
Halo button?
Where you can make it like old graphics and then new graphics?
It's not a button. It is an option you have to change.
Yeah,
but yes.
You can't just go back and forth.
Oh, damn it.
I know. You love that.
I love it.
It's a good feature.
Every remake game should have the Halo button.
What if Tetris had that? Your VR Tetris, right?
I have Tetris Effect, or you just hit the button and it goes back to just black and white Game Boy. Yeah. And then it's
the
like,
soundtrack doesn't change.
I want that.
Only goes back to the original Tetris.
The only culture I learned as a child was from Tetris, right? The music was like, this is the only thing I ever experienced that was actual culture.
Exotic location.
We joke, but I think in Tetris Effect there is a hidden level where the aesthetic is original.
That's awesome. That's the best level.
I think there's a level, it's like the Game Boy screen, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's move on to my new favorite segment of the show, Rumor Has It.
Let's talk about rumors.
And y'all have to help me with this one, because there was a lot of text going back and forth when I was stuck working and doing my job today. Man. So, according to a leaker whose name is Dusk Golem, Golem apparently has a strong track record of revealing information correctly right before it's about to come out. Mr. Golem says that Resident Evil 9 could be revealed very soon. For a scheduled release for January 2025, and this will be unveiled at a PlayStation showcase that'll also happen very soon. That is, I guess, would basically almost fall in line with like the E3,
this year.
That's not
E3.
Yeah, like the Sony showcase that would be like during the E3 week. I don't know where Kendrick Lamar comes into this, because I saw y'all talking about Kendrick Lamar.
So, apparently the leak of when the show is going to happen came from DJ Alchemix, because he mentioned something in, like, passing that due to a contract with Sony, Kendrick Lamar cannot, like, drop his next track until Sony has their big showcase.
Wait, like,
and apparently his track is dropping that week.
Oh, like a real track or like a diss track?
Yeah, probably a diss track.
He and Drake's been going back and forth.
He's been dropping them.
I've heard. I don't know anything about
it. I listened to one of them. It's pretty fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm interested to see what. Maybe it's like a single.
My favorite tweet is from Kanye when he says that he would never make a diss track. And someone retweeted him and said, I didn't realize Kanye was Italian.
So, So
took me a while.
So according to Mr. Golem and other insiders, Resident Evil 9 has apparently been in production since 2018, and it was potentially going to be the eighth entry in the series because Resident Evil Village was seen as a spinoff that they kind of turned into a Resident Evil 8.
So they also did the $50 demo.
It sure seems that way. But I mean, like, how did this work? Because Code Veronica, I've always heard, is technically 3.
It's 3.5.
But it's like, was like a spinoff, but like, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
Yeah. You've got it. Keep going.
Perfect.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, Code Veronica does follow like the mainline games more closely than like a spinoff game would, but it wasn't like named 3.
Well, Resident Evil 3 came out like within a year of 2, and it felt like, oh, this is just more of that and not as good.
Yeah.
And then Code Veronica was like what the A-Team was working on, right? Because it was the first one to have like really a different aesthetic compared to the first 3.
So games. Resident Evil 9 is just going to be like Code Veronica again.
And Code Veronica's not great.
Follow like a spiritual succession, and like it's something totally different that we haven't seen.
What they need to do.
No, I feel like Resident Evil 9 is going to be more along the lines of a Resident Evil 4.
Hmm. Well, what they need to do is like
actually be a main game.
Rewrite 5 and 6.
Yes.
And just take the canon away from what those games did.
I feel like they just need to do a Resident Evil 5 remake and then take that time to just change the story then. Right.
Yeah, but you can't really. I mean, you guess you could, but
I mean, I've never played 5, so I have no idea. I'm speaking out of my ass here because I don't know.
I mean, you just the things that need to be fixed in 5. You just like to see just because it's in Africa. Kinda, like, take the necessary pieces and just burn the rest down.
Go somewhere else for 5.
Yeah,
this time.
Well,
I mean, everything else is the same.
Wait, needs to be fixed. I mean, other than the fact that it was mostly a shit game.
Well, and then just like the co-op. You know, I mean, the game is just, you know, sort of problematic in that you're in Africa killing indigenous people and as a white dude there, like showing up, like
that might not go over so well.
It hasn't aged gracefully. We'll put it that way.
Felt weird then, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like the
This says that apparently Resident Evil 9 will have the biggest budget in the series to date.
Inflation.
Ooh. Right?
Everything does cost less.
Didn't they just give raises to all their employees?
There you go.
Yeah, that's why.
They're getting McDonald's delivered to the dev team. Nice. It's just expensive.
Do you want Resident Evil 9 to be a first person or a third person game?
I want it to be a fun game.
I had fun in 7.
That's what I'm saying.
Really
I don't
liked
know.
8.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed 8 more than 9.
Nine's not out. I mean, 8 more than 7?
What do you enjoy? I enjoyed 7 more than 6.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Resident Evil, to me, is I like more of the combat-y Resident Evils and less of the puzzly Resident Evils. Mm-hmm. So
I like the puzzly Resident Evils.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, Resident Evil 1 is the best out of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
7, just combat-wise. I was... 6, I'm sorry. Just like avoiding avoiding encounters. I don't want to do that in a Resident Evil game.
Mm-hmm. Parry?
Parry?
Wait, okay. What if Resident Evil 9 was just a Souls-like?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we've heard rumors that it's, you know, open world Resident Evil. Like, is there there's going to be a hub?
Resident Evil World.
Something.
Majula.
You can, if you need help, you can drop your soul stone, and then someone can come invade your game. And
another Jill shows up.
Another Jill.
If there's one thing Resident Evil's known for, it's all the help you get.
All the co-op, yeah.
I don't want to be in charge of deciding where that franchise goes. I just want to enjoy the games.
That's kind of it. Like, I don't know what the answer is. Is there a correct one? Because, like, at this point, like, you've gone down two different lanes that have been relatively successful in some way.
I feel like if you're going to, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're going to make it open world, it's going to go back to third person.
I you know.
Just because,
to
I don't
me,
know.
I feel like it almost depends on, like, character, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, first person really switched when it was Ethan, and that was, like,
but if you're back to being Chris or something, like.
Right.
Have we all beaten Village?
Yes.
I don't care about spoilers.
I mean, it makes sense to why the story wise, it makes sense why that game is first person.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What you find out at the end of Village, mm-hmm. it completely makes sense why that's a first-person game.
Yeah.
And again, without going into real spoilers, it does seem to lend itself to we could move on from Ethan's story.
Yeah, because while I haven't beaten it, I have a friend that has, so I know like most of what happens.
His name Ethan?
And eight. No. but like he told me, like, you know, with Ethan's daughter or whatever, like, so if it ends up being like her, I could see it being another first person game.
That's true.
Something.
They could go on with that.
Well, her DLC is third person.
Yeah.
Nice.
In there's an extra episode where you play as her in all those parts of the game, and it's a third person game.
Didn't 8 even have like where you could just switch to third person?
Eventually, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was like a DLC thing.
So Mr. Golem also claims that
it's Gollum.
Got him.
Put the accent on it, please.
Dragon's Dogma 2 expanded the RE Engine functionality for open-world games, and the other two games building on this tech are Monster Hunter Wild and Resident Evil 9. So,
I mean, I guess it makes sense. I guess they do want to be like, everything's... We've got the powerful engine for it now.
I mean,
like, let's...
You can have that engine and still not make it open-world. Like,
yeah, I guess, but I guess
bigger areas.
Well, I think the idea is
bigger areas, maybe like Outlast style, like, you know, where you're exploring.
But that was like 8. Like 8 did that. Like you explore the village. It was like 4, right? Like the village is open-ish.
I never played 8. Oh, I only played like 3 hours of 7.
Eventually, it goes where you can keep going back and forth because it's like a hub, and you have to like go to the 4 different things to get the keys, and then you can go back to the village. So
I'm saying, even stuff like Monster Hunter World, like it's not that open world; it's just big levels.
Well, yeah, I assume for this, it will be like, you know, if they're referencing something like Dragon's Dogma, maybe it will be something like an event can happen in the open world.
Sure,
you know what I mean, like a horde of zombies.
I mean, now that I'm
you.
Thinking about it, though, like a third-person style Dragon Dogma game, like that world
Resident
having
Evil.
That kind of like horror style the entire time would probably be pretty dope.
That sounds awesome.
I'm curious though, like, what is this open world going to be like? We're just in a random forest, or is it like going to be a city open world? Is it going to be
great too.
You know,
all of the above?
A field?
Yeah, I sound like a mix of everything.
It's
why
in
not?
San Andreas.
A swamp? Yeah, but to say Resident Evil
back
San
in San Andreas. Gonna have radio stations you can listen to.
Ooh, what's your favorite Resident Evil radio station?
80s cars that you can drive.
Okay, that's it for your news this week. Let's move into new releases. John Michael's favorite.
I love new releases.
Today on May 7th, you can play Prison Architect 2 on PS5, Xbox Series, and PC.
Has that game been out for like 12 years?
Prison Architect 1 has been out for like 12 years. Oh, okay. 2 is coming out on May 7th.
Oh, okay. I thought there already was a 2.
There will be today.
Can't wait for today.
Also coming out today, Seed of Life on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and Switch.
That sounds like some... thing in Destiny.
Seed of Life? That sounds like a weird farming game.
Who made this game?
Mad Light Studio.
This game came out on Steam August 11th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's coming out on consoles?
Almost 3 years later, yeah. On all
you
consoles.
You explore a beautiful and unique world in this game. And it looks like it kind of reminds me of like Cameo. Like you're running around 3D environments and there's light and colors.
Yeah,
it reminds me of Cameo, but there's not like creatures you summon. There's you look at the sky a lot.
Cameo, man,
that was
what
a game! What a game, right?
Yeah,
it was like great so game. Great at launch, and then I think I tried playing it like 3 years ago, and it is bad.
Ah, well, you know, let's leave our 2005 memories as that.
That's why I still like Perfect Dark Zero.
That's why I don't want to go back and play Condemned Criminal Origins.
It's perfect, and you can't convince me otherwise. I don't need to replay it because I already know.
Right.
V Rising, that's already was that an early access game?
V Rising has been an early access.
I think we
talk
about this game once a month.
But to say
it's been releasing once a month for the last 6 months.
So the crazy
every time we have questions about it.
The crazy thing about V Rising is it went into early access May 17th of 2022.
Okay. That's
so we're almost 2 years to the day.
Well, it's coming out Wednesday, May 8th, officially on PC. Later
so
this year
it was
for
officially
PS5.
Out, we already got the DLC announced.
This
game's great, by the way. V-Rising really good.
V-Rising. Fucking cool.
Steam says I've played it for half an hour.
Well, I'll wait till the PS5 version comes out in 2024. it says.
Well, make sure to ask year, about it each month.
Yeah, each month.
Tomorrow.
May 9th, which is Thursday. Thursday releases. Animal Well on PS5, Switch, and PC.
Animal yeah. Good.
That game looks very, very good.
Also on May 9th, Crow Country.
Crow Country for old men.
Which I forgot to write down on this other list I have. Crow Country coming out on PS5, Xbox Series, and PC.
So Crow Country has like this PS1 aesthetic to it.
It's fine.
Kind of like a horror like PS1 game. It looks really cool, actually. There's a demo available now.
That does look neat.
Available now, you say?
Whoa. The demo is, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
game's almost available.
Game's almost available.
Well, if you just want to try it and you don't want to spend the $20 that it's going to take to purchase this
$20?
What? Maybe 30. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
That's so expensive these days. What are the expensive? and finally, your final new release for this week, Little Kitty Big City, coming out on Xbox One, Xbox Series, Switch, and PC.
OMG.
The name of my autobiography, actually.
This looks very cute.
Little Kitty Big City is developed by Double Dagger Studio.
It's a cool name for a studio, actually.
And published by Double Dagger Studio.
They did it.
On no PlayStation, everything else, Xbox, Switch, and PC. Little Kitty Big City says, you're a curious little kitty with a big personality on an adventure to find your way back home.
Aww.
There's hat costumes. You could have like a corn cob hat.
Man. You can explore the city and make friends with other stray animals.
Well, I believe my wife will be downloading this soon in 2 days and 3 hours.
You can steal someone's iPhone.
There's a froggy hat and a mousy hat and a grape hat.
This looks a lot better than Stray.
Actually, yeah. It's not my lie.
Man,
just an open you can world sit on game? Someone's laptop, which I can attest.
So it's, like, it's almost like Untitled Goose Game.
It honestly looks like it. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
You Whoa. Go do Did someone just mission. Throw the cat across the city?
Yeah.
That's nice. How you fast travel.
You can take naps in the sun. You can knock shit off of a shelf. Just because that's what cats do.
You can ask this small dog, are you a small dog or a big dog? Oh. But you're looking at him, so you can tell that he is a small dog. So I don't know what that's about.
Trying to judge so his personality cute. Complex.
This is Little Dagger's, or Double Dagger Studios' first game, too.
Yeah, and on the website here, you can see their inspiration. It's Mario and Roxy, their cats. Really cute
I love
cats.
That.
Aww.
A
love
little
that.
Bit like your cats.
A little tuxedo
yeah,
cat action yeah. going on.
Yeah.
Except they love each other and
oh, yeah,
hate
you
one
know.
Another.
Right, that's how we know it's not them.
Yeah.
And that's it for new releases for this week.
Aww.
And that brings us to the end of our show.
We did it.
You can find GameWare on Facebook. Facebook.com/GameWareBR. You can also go to GameWare.com and buy the video games we talked about on this show, and we will ship them to you unless it's a Steam exclusive, and we can't do that because it's only on your computer.
Sorry.
That's a good point.
But if it's not one of those, you can go to GameWare.com, and we will ship video games to your home.
Or you can come by in the store.
Two locations worldwide, conveniently located here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can also follow me on Threads. I am at Adam Arender.
I am on Threads at JM Carly and Blue Sky at Earthworm JM.
Next.
Oh, I'm at Steve Gameware some on one of those couple of those Threads, Blue Sky.
I'm on most social media at Vanillala. That's like vanilla, but with an A in AE and an extra la at the end. And you can check out my super cool website, www.speakingofreneemartin.com for all my voice work and such.
If you want to email the show again, you can gamewareexpress@gmail.com. Come see us at WasabiCon this Saturday, May 11th at 2:30 p.m. We are in the anime panel room.
Yes, the anime panel
Don't
room.
Don't worry. We won't be talking about anime. If I have anything to do with it, we will not be discussing anime. Don't worry.
That'll be at the Sheraton in downtown New Orleans this weekend. So if you're in the area or want to take the short drive from Baton Rouge, come say hi. You can also listen to us now on Spotify, but also on SoundCloud, on Android. What do you get your podcasts on? iTunes. Is it iTunes still?
It's like Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Wherever your podcasts are sold. But we're free. And now on Spotify. Renee, Steven, Neil, John Michael, as always, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I always say we're going to have a short show and nothing to talk about, but here we are again, right at the hour, coming up on the hour and a half mark.
Did it. Filled the time.
I'm trying to think if I've been watching anything cool lately.
Anime.
To, like, throw us out of here. But...
I said no!
I have been watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is on Amazon Prime. It's so good. I actually have been watching it with my mom for the past like year and a half. But I started rewatching it because Steven and I have been going to the gym a whole bunch.
Nice. Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
That's and a buff. Our, thank you. Thanks.
Our gym upgraded their TVs to like smart TVs, so... Mm. You can just log into an app or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of fun to like watch that on a gym. But there's like nudity in the first
episode.
Yeah,
that was weird.
That was a little awkward. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot.
We're like on the treadmill and there's like other people in the gym. And there's just boobs on the TV.
Hey, different things motivate different people at the gym. Okay.
I helped so many people by selecting that to watch. So you're welcome, everyone.
We try to go when there's nobody there, like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Ooh, yeah, I wish I had that luxury, but I'm usually like
working,
doing four different meetings at once.
There was a dude working while working out today. I hate that so much. Yeah. He was just talking on his phone the whole time.
Yeah, it's there's signs saying not to do that.
Yeah, you should.
Don't talk on the phone.
Yeah, and not in the gym. It's rude to be an asshole.
It's true.
You can have conversations in the gym. You go outside. I do that. I get phone calls all the time when I'm at the gym, and I go outside or I step aside. I don't
Start staying in there.
Yeah, just
no.
I don't know.
Just bring your laptop. You can just like do your just do your job.
We were at a music festival Friday.
Oh yeah.
And it was like maybe 30 minutes before the main headlining act, but we're getting food and it's really crowded and noisy and busy and I got a phone call, work-related phone call. And she was like, "I need a copy of my husband's like benefit confirmation that's showing we added our kids to this." And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm at Jazz Fest in New Orleans. And then she was like, oh, I just thought, you know, it was Friday afternoon. I thought maybe you'd be. I'm like, no, I'm not. But I actually just texted her what she needed because I logged onto my company's website, screen capped the form she needed, and then just texted it to her. That's customer service
That is customer service
No one else would have even answered the phone.
That's very true.
That's true.
Yeah.
I made the mistake this weekend of watching Godzilla versus Kong.
Ooh. Asher.
Yeah, that's not that one's not good.
And well, no, it's a great movie. Mm. The only
did it also have boobs in it?
No, unless you count Kong's boobs.
I do actually.
Kong boobs.
Yeah,
I censor that at my house. I have a thing that pixelates it.
Good.
You just throw like a sticky on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah,
yeah. I stand in front of it so the dogs don't see it.
Yeah,
cover their eyes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he loved it, but I think that was like kind of the issue because now our house is destroyed.
Because he's like in kaiju mode?
Yes, yeah. So he's just been walking around going ah, knocking everything off.
Very cool.
Okay, so here's what you got to do. You got to play Annie because the first 20 minutes of Annie, it's mostly them cleaning up.
Okay,
and you'll have a song in your step because Asher will start to sing "It's a Hard Knock Life" while cleaning.
Well, you know, now on the way to school, the only song I can listen to is Katamari on the Rocks.
It's a good one.
Because it's his favorite song, and so now he's recently started singing it.
Can you record him singing that, please?
I will try, yes.
Please record that.
It's just like, it's so fucking cute, like, where it's just going off and just in the car seat, I hear like, "Do your best!"
I need to hear this.
It's driving Katie insane because even like when she's driving, he's like, "I want Katamari music," and I'll like try to tell him, be like, "Hey, Bubby, you know there's other Katamari songs," and he goes, "No, I want to listen to Asher's favorite song." So,
love it.
I'm on the N64 section of Gameware.com.
Yeah,
our e-commerce website, and you can actually sort by genre. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool. There's an MMO button.
Nice.
So we're going to click that.
Yeah. Quest 64.
There are no
N64 Chronicles is sold out.
MMOs. There's should probably get rid of that.
Okay. Why don't we get out of here? Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We always appreciate your support. Come see us at WasabiCon this Saturday, May 11th. And be good to each other out there. We'll see you next week. Afternoon.